All right, so the question Drew and I get asked every single day is, how do you start a podcast? When we were trying to get this podcast off the ground, we both had so many questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps people like to listen to? And most importantly, how do we make money from our podcast? The answer is simple. Anchor. Anchor is your one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, people, it's 100% free, and it's ridiculously easy to use. Even Drew can use it. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, guys, that's exactly what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and Drew and the whole diverse community of podcasters around the world that are already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. We can't wait to hear your podcast. All right, you are now tuned in to the Follow Through with Clips and Drew, the Thanksgiving edition. We are the sweet potato pie to your dark turkey meat. Thank you for tuning in. We're covering everything NBA related, but we got to talk about Dre Day and what's going on with the Golden State Warriors. We're going to talk about King Kemba and how he's the sixth highest paid player on the team. Drew, how the fuck does that even work? Markelle Fultz needs to go to the nut house. Somebody get this guy a psychiatrist. Somebody help this man. We're also going to talk about J.R. Smith. He has left the Cleveland Cavaliers. He wants no parts of the tanking that is going on. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Los Angeles Lakers, Los Angeles Clippers as usual. It's the Follow Through with Clips and Drew. Drew, just fucking kick our intro music.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt like Mount Vesuvius. I'm about due to erupt. Use it or I'm losing it. They say I need to loosen up. Tight, I'm well taught. I must do the max like gluteus. I do have something to say, so you got to give it up. Give it up. You never heard something like this before. Like this before. Like this before.
What up, podcast world?
What's up, everybody?
It's the Follow Through with Clips and Drew, the True Players Podcast. You are now tuned in. Do not adjust your radios, your phones, your headsets, whatever you're listening to. Do not adjust it. And if you do adjust it, turn it up just a little bit, because we have a lot to say. This is episode 53. Episode 52 was dope. It was a banger. It was a heater. We're coming at you November 20th. It is Turkey Day almost.
Happy Thanksgiving.
What are you doing? What do you got going?
Oh, man. With the fam.
What's the Miller family doing?
We do a nice little spread. It's nothing extravagant. We do a little turkey. We do a little mashed potatoes, little green beans, cranberry sauce, get the stuffing, the pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin pie.
Little ice cream.
I ain't never had no pumpkin pie. Kick it!
Exactly. Nice and easy. We are an all-American family.
Yeah.
And as such, we drink more than we eat on Thanksgiving.
Are you a white turkey or dark turkey? Like, which one do you take?
I go with both, dude. I rock and roll with both.
Okay.
I enjoy a nice turkey leg as much as the next man.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a nice clean slice of white meat with mm-hmm. some gravy on there. That's so racist, you know, Drew. Sign me up, man.
I prefer the dark meat.
Do you?
Yeah, just like I like my ladies. I like the dark meat. We all know this.
There you go.
It is what it is. You guys find something new about me every week.
There it is.
I'm looking forward to it. Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners. Hopefully you're listening to this on your way home from wherever the fuck you're at. Anyways, Drew, it's episode 53.
It is.
I'm curious to know who you have for our 53rd episode. I know who I want it to be.
Yeah.
I only know like two off the top of my head. But,
well, that's good. I mean, two's pretty good. So 53, like these numbers, these like middling 50s numbers that we have are kind of like these one-off numbers where a guy will get traded or something like that, and it picks up whatever number they have for that season, then it goes back the next season to whatever number that he prefers. So there's a long list of 53s, but none of them, like, except for these four guys that I've written down here,
I bet you I can get three or two worthy. Of them.
Go ahead.
Mark Eaton.
Yep.
Mark Eaton is a 5'3".
7'3".
God.
And he was an all-star. Good player. Yeah. Really good player.
He's a Hall of Famer, if I'm not mistaken. He might be a Hall of Famer. He used to pin people on the backboard, on not even on his tippy toes.
Yeah.
He would pinch at Utah.
Big guy.
I know for a fact Chicago Bulls, Artis Gilmore.
Absolutely. Gilmore. He is a Hall of Famer, 11-time all-star, ABA all-star and was a part of that transition. He played for the...
Was he really?
Yeah, he played for the Kentucky Colonials.
Is that who turned into the Bulls?
I'm uncertain about what... I think the Colonials dissolved. They were one of the ones that didn't make it. They only took like, I think, what is like four teams or something like that from the ABA and transitioned into the NBA.
And the Tropics were one of them, right?
The Flint Tropics. They won the Mega Bowl. The Flint, Michigan Mega Bowl.
Come on, we got to sing the song. Come on, bro. Love Me Sexy.
Yeah. Oh, man. Come on. It's me. That's a great... ELE. ELE, everybody. Everybody love everybody.
Let's get sweaty. Let's get sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of...
Flint Tropics really weren't a team, guys. So
they weren't actually a team. Basketball, a love story, you know, continues to amaze me. I just finished it myself. If you guys haven't checked it out, please check it
out. Get on
it's
that.
It's worth it.
Yes.
But in the earlier episodes, they really kind of take you through the ABA teams, and they go through quite a bit of like this history of what the ABA was and the pressure they applied on the NBA by taking a lot of their top talent out of college and building their own little franchises. But the more that I watch that, the more appreciation I have for the way that that movie was made. And Semi-Pro is the name of the movie, mm-hmm. with Will Ferrell and Woody Harrelson and
Andre 3000,
of course, Coffee Black. And it's you know, it's not too far away. It's not entirely historically inaccurate. There was places like Kentucky that had a professional basketball team. So pretty cool stuff. But yeah, Artis Gilmore, 11-time All-Star, Hall of Famer.
7-footer, too. That boy was a bad man.
He was a hooper for sure. Do you have any other guesses? Go ahead and say it.
Chocolate Thunder, dude.
Absolutely.
Chocolate Thunder, Daryl Dawkins.
Daryl Dawkins, absolutely.
I know that's three.
You got three
of
them.
Three. And those are all Hall of Famers.
Did you look these up?
Never. No.
You didn't look these up?
No. I know
that's pretty good. Artis Gilmore, for you to pull For you to pull Artis out of your ass, that's pretty impressive.
I didn't pull Artis out of my ass.
You did. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, well, kind of.
Like,
I mean,
if you didn't look it up.
I didn't look
That's a fact that you pulled out of your ass is no, what I just that, remember. That's what I refer to as out of your ass.
Okay. Yes. I remember 53.
Yeah, that's a big one.
But Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder, game delaying, backboard swaying. If you ain't moving, you best be grooving.
Yep.
The heart stopper, the rub roaster, the bun toaster, cake shaker, and the baby maker. Yeah, chocolate down the flying glass, flying rub roasted bun toasting, Robazine crying, glass still flying, babies crying, cats crying, chocolate down the stick of the Monday.
Chocolate Thunder.
Dr. Dunk, Sir Slam, Zandokin the Mad Dunker was the craziest.
That was the name?
That was listed on his profile as one of his nicknames, one of like the 15 nicknames as you just mentioned. The only other guy that I had was Alton Lister, who was a good player in the 70s. Not much of a player, and it's kind of anticlimactic now that I'm mentioning him now.
We should have started with him. I wouldn't have known that.
You had guesses, so I wanted to hear if you were right, and you nailed them. So 3 out of 4 is a pretty fucking...
And those are three Hall of Famers.
They're good. That's why I brought them up. So I really think this should be the Artis Gilmore episode.
Really? Over Chocolate Thunder?
Chocolate Thunder was fun, but if you look at their careers, Chocolate Thunder, you know, Daryl Dawkins only averaged like... for a career, like 10 points a game. Mm. Artis Gilmore was like 17 and like 12. He was like a rebound leader, like for 7 years. Like this guy was a force. 11-time All-Star. He's a Hall of Famer. Daryl Dawkins is not in the Hall of Fame.
He's not.
No, he's
not. Okay, so excuse me. I thought possibly he was in the
Hall of Fame. No, he was. I think
RIP, by the way.
Yeah.
He passed.
Yeah. But so excitement level, you're absolutely 1,000% correct. Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder, which is an amazing nickname by itself, was by far one of the most electric players of his era.
Well, dude, he's the reason why somebody had to invent a breakaway rim.
He was just
breaking every single
taking rims
backboard.
From every he had like souvenir rims every time you go to a new stadium. Bang, that's why I'm taking
he
that.
He named
home.
His dunks. Come on, bro, that's some fly shit.
He was a hell of a hooper. Right. I really Artis Gilmore deserves it in my opinion more than does Daryl Dawkins.
All right, so episode 53 is going to be to you, OG Artis Gilmore.
Yep.
We're going to throw
triple
you this,
OG.
Triple OG. We're going to throw this nod to you, my man. Lots going on in the NBA, Drew. I want to start on what everybody is talking about, and we have to get in to the Golden State Warriors. We want to talk about the state of the Golden State Warriors.
Right.
I have personally coined the incident between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. I'm calling it Dre Day because that's when everything – seems to have hit the fan.
What are you referring to?
I'm referring to the Clipper Golden State game where the loose ball and they got in the argument.
No. I know the incident you're referring to. What's the ref? Like, what's Dre? Dre Day sounds like a Dr. Dre album or like a.
Well, Dre Day was a song. Dre Day only made easy payday. Okay. You know what I mean? That's what I thought.
So then what's the reference?
Well, though? I'm just calling it Dre Day, kind of like a D-Day, like reference, you know, like where all
Doomsday.
Shit, yeah, where shit went bad.
I hear it now.
You know, they've dropped three of four, and I think you said five of six, if you're not mistaken.
Four out of the last five they've lost. Okay, I'll take you back. Then let's travel back in time. Let's hop in the time machine
take
here.
Take me back.
To Dre Day, as you're naming it.
I love it.
Monday, November 12th, the loss against the Clippers, the loss.
I remember that vividly.
Do you?
Yes.
What a surprise.
Shout out to you, Jeff Compton.
What a surprise. Anyways, go for it. Yeah, the Clippers beat the Warriors in overtime, when the altercation happened and the words were said. They then went home immediately the next night, and they beat the Hawks by 7 without Draymond Green, who was suspended for that game.
Which he's appealing.
And was fined, apparently.
$125,000.
Yeah. And then, but they only won by 7 points against the Hawks, which means it wasn't exactly what they were hoping for. Mm-hmm. They then got obliterated by the Rockets. 86 points total they scored in that game.
Chris Paul was laughing that game, too.
Everybody was laughing. Clowning they were them. Having a blast. The Rockets were having a blast. They needed that win really bad.
Totally.
Then they lost to the Mavericks by 3 points, which is that's,
shouldn't happen.
That is not good. Mm-hmm. And then they lost to the Spurs by 12. So that is 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 5 losses in the last 5 games.
Since Dre Day. And they had dropped. And I think Drew told me this before we actually went on air, was it's been the first time in how long that they're in the fourth spot. They jumped now that the Clippers lost tonight to the Wizards, correct. Which we're going to talk about.
Correct. But, so they're sitting in the 3 seed. Okay. They were in the 4 seed, and I believe it's the first time in 5 years that they've been as low as the 4 seed, which is pretty epic.
Wow.
Yeah. So they do have a pretty tough game coming up tomorrow, Wednesday, you know, the day before Thanksgiving, against the Thunder at home. We're unaware of Draymond's status, speaking of Dre Day.
I want to talk about that.
Go ahead.
I want to talk about that because I called bullshit as soon as I saw this happen.
The toe injury?
The toe sprain.
Okay? Is it a sprain or is it like
they called it a toe sprain.
Is it a hangnail?
I don't know what it is. Is it an ingrown? I don't know which toe.
Right. It's got to be the big toe.
If
it's not the big toe, you need to get the fuck on the floor
totally
and
agree.
Play.
Well, to Draymond's defense, bro, sure. I think Draymond is one of the toughest players in the NBA.
Sure. I don't think it would be him that's sitting. I think that's where you're going.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't think he would
be. He's the one that would say, I'm sitting because of my toe.
He wouldn't say
no,
that.
No, I think this is an in-house suspension.
Yeah.
I think there is more going on than we think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Steve Kerr is one of those coaches. You know, he's really trying to keep shit in-house, right?
I think every team should want that.
If anybody can do it, though, Kerr's kind of the guy. Like, look, dude, if we have some issues, let's fucking talk this shit out. I think Draymond has some major issues. He aired out some laundry that, like, nobody was thinking was going to get aired out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the impending KD free agency. We've won without you. You know what I mean? Some bullshit that's happening 12 games into the NBA season. And I feel that this is a suspension, dude. What do you think about the toe injury?
Well, you know, he was out with it the day, maybe 2 games. I think he didn't play leading up to that Clipper game with that same injury. Mm-hmm. I know for a fact that it was injury based to start.
Mm-hmm.
It's very convenient that it's, you know, they're sitting him again for that same injury. It's a convenient time for them to bring it up.
And then we go to Dallas, Drew.
Yeah.
Right? We go to Dallas, they lose that game. Obviously, that's frustrating. But then Captain Sensitive strikes again. He reads your tweets. He cusses you out in your seats. He's Captain Sensitive. It's gone viral. Everybody's seen it. KD was fed up with some of the fans sitting in the front row and says, watch the game and shut the fuck up. Went right up to the fan to say that.
Yeah.
Now
the guy had floor seats too.
Floor seats.
He must have been saying something.
Well, he's probably just saying stuff to push KD's buttons, and we all know
it
that's
worked.
Why we call him Captain Sensitive.
It worked.
I'm not shocked at it, but it's just like, yo, dude, what the fuck did this guy say?
Right.
To have KD do it, knowing that this is gonna go viral. He knows somebody's gonna catch it. Somebody's
in today's day and age, everyone's got a camera out,
right?
And it is, you know, I don't know what was said. And I know that fans, we've both seen it throughout our years. Fans can absolutely lose control in these games.
They get super disrespectful
and they get overserved.
Right.
And I can recall an instance where Marcus Smart was at Oklahoma State, and he ended up, you know, kind of deep in the crowd after like a loose ball foul, and some dude said some foul shit to him, and he just like swung, and apparently, you know, the guy dropped a racial slur on him. It was an older white guy, and Marcus was not having it. And so I think there is an aspect of, like, you know, players have to put up with a lot of that shit talking. But at the same time, Kevin Durant's been in the league for how long now? And he's going to let this one idiot, like, take him, take his focus away from a game that they needed to win. They should have won against a poor Dallas Mavericks team. Now, Kevin still had 32 points in that game, and he played pretty well. Klay had 22. He played pretty well. Nobody else really showed up on that, on their squad for them, for the, for that game, and they lost by 3 points. But to your point, this, I, every time that he gets, that he reacts to a fan, whether in person or on social media, it blows my mind.
Because he's still doing it?
I don't get it. I don't understand how he's letting these people break into his psyche. You should have, you should have the fucking blinders on when you're in, when you're in an NBA arena, when you're in a game. It's, I know it's difficult, but especially someone as tenured as Kevin Durant, who's had to deal with this shit for as long as he has, you got to think that even in high school, people were running their mouth at him.
Right.
He's got to be able to shut this shit down. He was an MVP of the goddamn league. He's a Finals MVP. What the fuck? How is it? How
you don't need
it
to listen
hard?
To Joe Blow in the front row.
Exactly.
And you know what? To the players and Kevin's defense, too. Just because you pay $5,000 a ticket for a ticket doesn't mean that you can say whatever the fuck
Correct.
You want. We are all men at the end of the day.
Yes.
And so maybe, you know, maybe this dude really did cross the line, and Kevin, as a man, had to go up to him and tell him to shut the fuck
up.
Well,
see, here's the thing. We don't see what the guys, that's the unfortunate part.
We only see Kevin's response.
We only see the reaction, and that's always how it's going to, this is part of why I'm surprised every time that he reacts, because the only thing that matters is his reaction. No one gives a fuck about what this white dude, I'm assuming white dude, we don't even see him off camera, but I'm assuming it's an older white man who said some foul shit, whatever it was, to Kevin Durant to make him have this reaction. He has to be smart enough. He's invested in major companies now in the Bay Area since he's been there. And as an investor in companies, you would imagine that this guy has the maturity who can make smart, savvy, you're assuming can make smart, savvy business decisions, should have the maturity to not respond to an idiot on the sideline who's clearly trying to provoke a reaction from him.
And he also went at the reporters, you know.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And I'm kind of with Stephen A. on this, dude. Like, you know, Kevin Durant was asked about the Dre Day situation, the Draymond situation, and he looked dead ass at him and said, don't ever ask me that question again. And the reporter took it kind of to heart, where it's like, yo, it's their job as a reporter to ask these questions. If you want to say, I'm not going to respond to that. If you want to Marshawn Lynch the whole thing, like, you're allowed to do that. But don't tell the reporter what you can and cannot ask them. I just think we have been talking about Kevin Durant and his responses and his sensitivity for fucking a year and a half now.
Yeah.
And I think these, since social media has been so big in today's culture, that these guys are so involved in literally reading comments, seeing the memes, you know, maybe that, and I don't know, bro, because I'm not fucking famous and I'm not the best basketball player in the world.
Right.
And maybe that shit can wear on you, dude.
I'm sure that it does. Mm-hmm. And I actually, the social media stuff is easier for me to understand a response out of him. The way he did it and like the burner account and that whole thing is tragic. Mm-hmm. But responding to social media, because that is very personal. And a lot of these guys don't have social media managers or guys that they hire to run their social. A lot of them have their phones out. And they go after a game, they go, oh, I want to check out some highlights. I want to see what my friends are doing. And then these, you know, thousands of comments are coming in heavy on them, right?
And people say foul shit, bro.
Especially on social media.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is it makes more sense for him to, in my mind, it makes more sense for him to respond to something in social media than it does for him to respond to someone in an arena. Mm. And as far as I'm aware, this is his first altercation of this nature
that we know of,
where he, and it's not, I'm saying altercation, it was 5 seconds, but yeah, again, it was caught on camera because he is the second best player in the on the planet.
Yeah.
And so I keep going back to the whole idea of he shouldn't be listening to that shit, especially in the moment. It was during a game. I know it was like a timeout or whatever, the ball wasn't in play. It's not like he stopped while the game was going on and talked to this guy. But it's still, in the heat of the moment, he should not be listening to anything they have to say.
And Kevin Durant is not the only player to do this. I remember Charles Barkley would have conversations with people in the front row.
Yep.
You know, people, it's just the fact that we have camera phones now. We can catch this shit and it can go on Twitter before the game's over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was lucky enough to sit courtside at a game, at a Warrior game, before they were really good, before the tickets cost too much for me to even look at. I can't even look at that. My phone won't let me look at the prices for the tickets right now. But it was, I think it was probably 2010, 2009. So Steph's rookie year. He was out with an ankle injury. Surprise, surprise.
No way.
But I sat dead center. I was dead center on the court. It was like one of the coolest experiences of my life. And at halftime, they were playing the Detroit Pistons. Rodney Stuckey was on the team and Charlie Villanueva was on the team at that time. Villanueva passed the ball inbounds to start the second half to Stuckey. And Stuckey, as he was receiving the ball, said to Charlie, "Yo, post him up." And I was right there and I heard it clear as day. And I said to Stuckey, I was like, "Okay, Stuckey, post him up then." And Stuckey smiled. Right. So there, you are very, very close when you're sitting, like they are, you can reach out and touch these dudes.
Yeah.
So I understand the proximity is an issue.
It is.
And if I said, "Fuck you, Stuckey," to him, like loud,
he will see it.
He would have definitely heard that. But I guess I just keep going back to this whole thing where he needs to be focused.
Yeah. But that's a
Kobe doesn't respond to that shit.
Nah, Kobe. You know what I'm saying? That gets Kobe fired up.
And even when people are nice to him, you remember that Chris Rock clip where Kobe's sitting on the bench seated next to Chris Rock, and Chris Rock is like smiling, talking to him.
Wasn't even
Kobe is in the zone. Yeah. And that was during a timeout. That wasn't even like the game. He wasn't standing on the floor. He was seated next to the man.
That
and
was still zoned.
Exactly. And I understand that not everybody has that mentality, and that was a special gift that Kobe has, his mental fortitude and all that stuff. But on some level, every NBA player has to have a version of that.
And to what you said earlier, though, basketball is that game, dude. You're not wearing helmets.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You're not literally 200 feet away from fans as far as baseball goes. There's not 70,000 people or 40,000 people in the arena. You're there. And if you sit courtside, you're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They hear what you say.
Yes.
And you really have to have thick skin. And this is, I want to stop with the Kevin Durant because, you know, we've been talking about this way too long. Kevin needs some thick skin because.
And he's not going to get it.
It's not something
it
you just.
It seems like he doesn't have it.
Right. He doesn't. That you are who you are, as we say on every episode.
The thick skin stuff, he's got to put some fucking earplugs in or something.
And just score your buckets, bro. Right. Get your buckets, get your money. You're making $200 million. You know what I mean?
Well, he's not. He keeps doing the one and one. He's making plenty of money.
No,
but he didn't. They're begging for him to make the $200 million. He won't take it
so,
right now.
So, real quick, let's spend two more minutes on this.
Sure.
Are the Golden State Warriors entertaining offers for the trade of Draymond Green to appease Kevin Durant?
Yeah.
Because it seems as if that this isn't working out. Right. I'm not buying this whole Draymond sitting out shit. And as Draymond Green, if you get traded from the Warriors for a dude that hasn't even committed to your team for the next year.
Correct.
How would Draymond Green feel bringing three championships, right? With this team, coming up with this team.
Right.
How would you feel as Draymond Green?
Yeah, so I have an interesting thought on this. I brought this up to our boy Jeff Crompton.
Oh, Jeff Crompton.
And because, you know, I want to pick his brain as a Warrior fan. You know, it's part of my job to hear what everyone feels like, because I have a very certain perspective on each issue, and I know a fan of his stature is going to have a different perspective. But what I thought of is, like, it's not there yet. But this is like the rumblings of the Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns situation. And the only way I mean this is it's not about the respect thing, and it has very little to do with the relationship similarities. It has more to do with the fact that Karl Anthony Towns only signed his extension with Minnesota once they announced Jimmy Butler was going to be traded. And I'm not saying it's there yet, but it could turn into that situation pretty quickly here. If it doesn't get prettier, if they don't fucking start winning again, which we all expect they will, as soon as Steph comes back on that floor, or even before, they should be able to pick this up and go. It could become that situation. Now, do I think the Warriors should listen to trade talks for Draymond Green? Fuck yeah. Because we all know this. If Kevin Durant signs a max deal and they choose to keep Klay over Draymond, Draymond's going to eventually have to either take a significant pay cut or he's going to have to say goodbye.
Do you think I agree with you 1,000%. Yeah. And do you think that he knows that? He's not dumb. Draymond's a very smart guy.
He's not naive.
He knows the situation that he's in. He's not stupid to know that.
Correct.
If we're going to keep this team together, somebody's got to go and I'm probably the dude.
Correct.
So some frustration comes out in a game and you air out the laundry in front of the world.
Yeah.
I think it was more, of what Draymond was feeling towards KD and not necessarily what Steph and Klay and the whole team was feeling towards.
Correct. So okay. Draymond's not a free agent until next offseason. Right. Not this coming offseason. It's the following mm-hmm. offseason. This offseason is Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant. And they're going to lock them up if Kevin Durant wants to stay. Or even if he wants to continue to do these one deal, like there's 1 year plus the player option deals that he's been doing for the last 2 years, they're going to sign them. Those two are their priority because Draymond's still got another year. Now, if Kevin Durant does not sign the full max that they want to offer him as they're entering into their new arena, their new like $2 billion arena that they've made in San Francisco, then it becomes kind of a little bit of, you know, it's chess, not checkers in that moment.
Because yeah. How's Boogie playing? Are we going to give Boogie money?
They won't have any money to give DeMarcus Cousins, let alone Draymond Green, if they sign Klay and Kevin Durant. So the good news is you're bringing up Boogie. They actually have with him kind of a fail safe because if they lose Kevin Durant or they lose Draymond Green or both, they will have money to pay DeMarcus Cousins. So they could not be in a better position for all this turmoil. If DeMarcus Cousins shows up at the back end of the season and is 80% of the player he was last year, he's worth the money that they would give Draymond Green, in my opinion.
But an active Boogie, and I've spoken to a lot of people around the league, an active Boogie like on a team with Draymond Green, that's a lot of fucking ego going on.
I agree.
And that's a headache. And I don't think any team in the NBA wants that fucking headache.
To your point, I think every player in the NBA is very aware of their contract situation and their situation with the cap space with their team. If they're not, their agents aren't informing mm-hmm. them well enough and they need to get new agents. In the era of modern basketball in the NBA, every player is very focused on their money as they should be. And every player should have an agent that is updating them on every aspect of what their franchise can possibly put forward to them and constantly be in communication with the GM about what the extension would look like, if he's going to get it, when he's going to be offered it, if he's going to go to free agency. All that stuff should be in constant communication. I think Draymond is definitely aware that of the superstars, he's the most expendable. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out, where everyone is making too much of a deal out of this, including us. It's something.
I don't think we are.
It's dude. Something to talk about, but until something happens, we're making a bigger
until
deal than we need.
Until Steph comes back and brings the calm, uh-huh. you know what I mean? That's what they're lacking. This is Steph's team. It's not KD's team. It's not Klay's team. Mm-hmm. Their identity is with Steph Curry.
Which is why I think there is a real possibility that Kevin Durant leaves. I don't want to talk too much about that because we're going to have a lot of time to talk about that throughout the season and as the offseason approaches. But that you saying that right there is 100% correct. If there is a reason for him to leave, it's because it will always be Steph Curry's team before it's Kevin Durant's team. It will always be Steph, the more popular of the two.
Yes.
Every year, even if Kevin Durant finishes his career in the Warriors, if as long as Steph Curry is on that team with him, Steph will be the favorite son.
Agreed.
So that's all I have to say about
that. All right. We'll see where this is at by next week after Turkey Day. If they lose another three games, bro, there's going to be problems in Golden State.
I agree.
Let's get on to some other shit, Drew.
Yeah.
There's a couple other things going on in the NBA that I want to talk about. One word for you, Drew.
Yeah.
Kemba. King fucking Kemba.
That was a lot more than one word.
Sorry.
But I get what you're
just
saying.
It sounds good coming off the tongue, bro.
Kemba Walker
is on fire. He's as hot as fish grease right now,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, he's playing out of his mind. He dropped a 60-piece. We're all aware of that. It's this franchise record for the Charlotte Hornets.
That's an exclusive club, too. 60's an exclusive club.
60's a big fucking number. And he did it against Jimmy Butler, who was guarding him essentially the whole game.
Yes.
And still put up that number. And then came back the next game and dropped 43.
On the Celtics?
On the Celtics. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because the 60-point game, they ended up losing, unfortunately. You know, Embiid and Simmons and Butler all had really good games, and they lost the game by three. And right. Jimmy ended up with a huge defensive play at the buzzer where he blocked Kemba's shot to kind of seal the deal. But he still, 60, like you said, 60 points is a fucking milestone. Very few players ever hit that number in their career. Very few elite players ever hit that number in their career. And then to come back immediately, two days later and drop 43 against the Celtics in a win against the Celtics.
For me to say he's the most underrated player in the NBA right now doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right because, yes, he dropped 60. I said it last year, too. Kemba Walker is a fucking beast.
Yeah.
I think every NBA point guard, NBA player in the league knows who Kemba Walker is.
Yes.
And knows what he can do. And he's been doing this his whole career.
He's very, very good.
He's very good. It's unfortunate that he is on a shitty team.
Yeah.
A shitty franchise.
It's definitely, finally, his team. He's the fucking captain of this team. He's the guy that they need to score. He's the guy that they want to score. And he is in a contract year. So he's definitely out there trying to get his paper, and he deserves every cent of that.
Yeah, I want to talk about his contract, too.
Yeah.
Kemba Walker is the sixth highest paid player on his team.
On his own team.
On his own team. On his fucking team, Drew. Uh-huh. You name the player, and I'll tell you if they're making more money than
him. Right, so this is what I'm going to try to do. There's five players making more than him.
Yes.
Jeremy Lamb?
Not making more.
He's not? Okay. No. All right. Shit. Let's think about this. Marvin Williams.
Making more. More than Kemba Walker. Come on, you're white boy, bro.
Zeller?
Yep. Making more than Kemba Walker.
Wow. Yep. This is where I'm running out of names here. They don't have Dwight anymore.
No, they definitely don't. And he's definitely making more. He's making double what Kemba makes this year, by the way. Who's out with an ass injury.
Again. Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah. From sitting on your ass, Dwight. That's what it's from.
I love that we're stalling because I can't think of any other names. I'm literally drawing a blank.
Batum is making double.
Oh, Batum, of course.
Batum is making double. Kemba, do you know how much Kemba makes this year?
What is it, like 12?
$12 fucking million. Yeah. Okay. Ryan Anderson makes more money than him.
Yeah. It's Trevor Ariza makes
Avery
more money.
Avery Bradley makes more money than him. But on his own team, Batum, Zeller, Bismack, Biombo.
Oh my God. His contract is still crazy.
Marvin Williams, former lottery pick.
Yeah, Marvin Williams.
MKG.
What?
Yes. Makes more money than him. Michael Kidd Gilchrist.
Wow.
Yes. Makes more money. Now, if I'm Kemba Walker.
Wow.
Yeah, this is fucked up to me. All right.
Well, it's nobody's fault. Oh, he signed a deal.
It is. You're right.
At the time.
You're right.
And it was $12 million. We're making a big deal. The guy's still making $12 million. But in perspective, that's what he was worth at that time. I think when he signed that deal, especially, what was it, 4 years ago?
Michael Jordan exploiting again. his own people once again.
But he's played himself into this next tier over the course of this contract.
It's time to get paid for Kemba. If I'm Kemba... Play this fucking year out. Your chip is huge right now. You stay healthy.
Right.
And you can get... You want to be in New York? Go back to New York.
He could.
New York would love Kemba Walker.
Yeah, he played at UConn. He loves the Garden.
Right.
That would be... I mean, they'd be happy to have him, I would imagine. Same thing with Brooklyn. I mean, Brooklyn...
Yeah, Brooklyn, be cool with him.
Brooklyn needs a talisman.
Homie, we played him. Clippers played him the other night, dude. They got the dude with the fro who I really like.
Jared Allen.
Jared Allen. Really like him.
Good player.
What's his name from the Lakers?
D'Lo.
D'Angelo looked all right.
D'Angelo Russell.
He looked all right.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie can shoot. I like him a lot.
Dinwiddie's a player.
They have zero talent on their team, but they got good. They're kind of like a super poor man's Clippers. Right. Like a really poor man's.
And they got a
Clippers.
Shit ton of cap space.
They
over
do.
There. They have so much cap space.
They
so,
do. And we're going to take a quick trip around the NBA in a minute. But as far as Kemba Walker goes, the dude's on a tear. I would love to see them do more. I think the only thing that scares me, bro, is he's playing a lot and playing really hard.
Yeah.
And the way he plays reminds me a lot of Derrick Rose. You know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
Not necessarily banging.
He's
on
not as explosive, right. But he is. He's very like hard on his limbs. He's like Rafael Nadal.
Ooh.
There you go. How about
good
that?
Comparison,
this dude,
Drew.
Nadal plays so hard that his knees are eventually just going to fall off his body.
They have to.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Charlotte, you know, for what it's worth, they are sitting right now at 8-8, and
not bad.
All eight of those wins, I think Kemba's scored 30 or more.
Right.
So
Kemba's leading the league in scoring right now, and I can guarantee you he's leading the league. Actually, I know for a fact he's leading the league in fourth quarter scoring right now.
Is that right?
Yeah, because the fact I saw today was two of the five two of the five top performers in the fourth quarter in the NBA right now are Clippers. And I think the first one's easy.
Well, who's the first? We're going to talk about the Clippers now?
Well, we can. We can for a minute if you want.
Go ahead. Tell me. Lou Williams,
yeah, definitely.
Definitely.
And then our boy, episode 51.
Boban.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Boban Marjanovic.
Who had 14 points in 10 minutes last night.
Unbelievable. You take a segment about Kemba Walker.
We're going straight from Kemba to Bobby.
Somehow we end up talking about Lou Williams and Boban Marjanovic.
Well, dude, just because I've watched all these teams play this past week, bro.
That's awesome.
Let me do my Clipper spiel then real quick before we get into some other shit.
Okay, go ahead, man.
So Drew actually was just over here tonight. We're on the back end of our three-game road trip. Clippers have won 5 in a row. We were currently tied for first as of this morning at 11-5. We're playing really good basketball. We're the number 3 offense in the NBA, which is pretty amazing. The last 5 games, we're averaging 124 points a game, which for the Clippers is absolutely fucking ridiculous, okay? But that's kind of like where that's where everything's going now.
Yeah.
124 is pretty amazing. We put up 40 points in the first quarter today. Tobias had 18. We blew the game, though. We lost to Washington tonight. We were up 24. I had one of my betting friends, Cam. Shout out to Cam. He plays with us at the gym. He hit me up this morning and asked, you know, what do you think about the Washington Clipper game tonight? And I said, look, dude, Washington's due for a win. Because they fucking suck. Actually, they're not that bad.
We should talk about.
What I'm segueing into.
Okay, I like that.
And the Clippers have won 5 in a row, and we got in at 3 a.m. to Washington this morning. Not saying that's it all adds up.
It's not irregular in the NBA.
It's not irregular, but
do that all the time.
We played Atlanta yesterday, got the business. Mike Scott played really well. The whole team's playing really well. Gallo was sick. So he looked really flat tonight. But anyways, I want to get more off of Clippers losing because, yes, it happened. We dropped to the fourth spot with one game, right?
Correct.
And then Golden State went up to the third. We play Memphis on Friday,
which
is a big game.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're going to get into Tobias. I'm going to say two things. Tobias Harris, you look fucking amazing, dude. This guy literally can get a bucket whenever he wants. Lou Williams, Mr. Fourth Quarter. Sometimes he throws up some shots that I don't agree with, but then he hits he's kind of like, and I've said this, I compare him to Jamal Crawford minus the flash. You dig? Like, minus the flash, this guy puts up really good buckets.
Yeah.
And Mike Scott, the guy we picked up from Washington this past summer, or Atlanta, one of them, he played for both of the teams.
He played both, yeah.
Both of them.
I think it was Washington, his last
he
stop.
Played for Atlanta and Washington, and he had 6 for 12 three-pointers against Atlanta, and then Washington tonight, he had 3 quick ones. I think we look fine. I'm really not tripping right now. I think we need to go home, sleep in our own bed.
You guys are performing at a higher level than anyone could have expected.
Way more than I expected.
You should be happy.
I'm extremely happy about it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to take one jab at somebody, though, bro.
Okay.
Because you know I'm not a Clipper Darryl fan at all.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right.
I don't fuck with Clipper Darryl. I think he's just fucking annoying. You can tag him in this post if you want to.
For people that don't know, Clipper Darryl is a very outspoken. Well, not. I mean, there is quite a few Laker fans that listen to this podcast
that don't know Clipper Darryl.
Yeah, dude.
Please.
Who do you think the Laker fans care about? An extravagant.
It's not about caring. It's about knowing who Clipper. They know. Who
Homie, I didn't know who Clipper Darryl was for a very long time.
Whatever. Either way.
Let me get this out. People don't. There's a lot of people who don't know who Clipper Darryl is.
I don't believe that.
That's a fact.
I don't believe that.
He's a fanatic of the Clippers.
Yes.
He wears a blue and red suit. He drives a fucking Clipper vehicle. If you've been to a Clipper game, then you would have probably heard him and seen him because he's very boisterous with his famous "Let's go Clippers, let's go" chant that he does.
You ugly.
And all this stuff.
You ugly.
And some of the times it actually is funny. I've been to a couple of Clipper games and he's made me laugh.
Ugly, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. That's his favorite one. Like, yo, Clipper Darryl, I don't fuck with you. Anyways, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He rips on Doc Rivers all year. He blamed Blake going and Chris going and everything on Doc Rivers, right? And how he can't coach basketball. And yeah, Doc might have been part of that whole thing.
I think he had something to do with it.
I'm sure he had something to do with it. It all happens. Everything good comes to an end at some point.
Right.
But what I'm watching this year is Doc Rivers coach his ass off. I'm seeing him make the right subs. We don't have the same starters every single night. I like what he's doing. I think the trajectory for the Clippers right now, if we stay healthy, is going to be just fine. But more importantly, I want to talk about the Wizards because this week a lot of shit happened, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think we said a couple podcasts ago, we want to be a fly on the wall in the Washington Wizards locker room.
Yeah.
These guys have zero chemistry whatsoever.
John Wall and Brad Beal have not liked each other for a long period of time. We've noted their rocky start to the season. We expected, you know, I certainly expect them to be in the playoffs. I think you did too, to be in playoff contention this year. Not necessarily to contend for a championship at all, but to be, you know, on the bottom half of the East.
The addition with Dwight Howard,
right?
Because we all still think that there's this magical Dwight Howard that's going to save us. Well. But what happened in practice this week was it was Austin Rivers and Bradley Beal got into it at practice. And so Austin, shockingly, it's Austin. Everybody hates Austin. They do.
And he's not very good.
He went from, and I told Drew this today, he went from averaging 15 with us. He's at about eight with the Wizards. And I watched him tonight and the dude looked doo-doo. Okay. Yeah, and I like you, Austin Rivers. I've been defending you for a really long time.
Yep.
So Bradley Beal and Austin Rivers get into it. And then as they're arguing, Bradley Beal says, "All right, well, let's air it out right now. Anybody got something to say? Let's say something."
Oh.
And so everybody chimed in, right? Everybody chimed in. John Wall chimed in. Otto Porter chimed in. Bradley Beal chimed in. Austin Rivers definitely got his shit in. Don't you dare think that Markieff Morris didn't get his shit in.
Yeah, Markieff will speak.
He spoke. And then when Scotty Brooks, who's actually a really good coach.
I like Scott Brooks.
We like Scott Brooks. I liked him as an NBA basketball player, too.
Oh, yeah.
Just – he was like, dude, if you had any shot about making it to the NBA, Scotty Brooks should be the guy that's like, yo.
Yeah.
I could be him. Scotty Brooks chimed in, and then John Wall took it upon himself to say, fuck you, quote unquote, fuck you to the coach.
The way that I heard it was Scott said, try harder.
Love it.
To John Wall.
Love it.
And then John Wall's response was, fuck you.
Well. Sounds about right.
Which is what you want from your $200 million man, right?
You do that's your owed franchise. Franchise
leader. Man. You want that response is exactly what you hope for.
If I'm Scotty Brooks,
ridiculous.
Guess what? You can fire Scotty Brooks, but he's owed $21 million over 3 years, $7 million a year. So I think coaching these superstars that make, like, John Wall singing to himself, bro, I'm worth $200 million.
Yeah.
You're paying me $40 million a year. I don't give a fuck what you have to say to me. I'm going to be here.
Right.
And I think I've said this on a few podcasts before. The great Bobby Knight, they asked, why did you never coach in the NBA? Why? You were offered so many times. And he said, how the fuck am I going to tell anybody to do anything when they're making more money than me?
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, and the first one to go is always going to be Scotty Brooks. You're going to be the first one to go. And guess what? There's going to be another dude that's going to come in there that's going to make way less than John Wall. And it's John Wall's team.
Yeah.
What they came out and said this week was basically everybody's on the trading block. If anybody would please take this John Wall contract off of our head.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to touch John Wall. I think people want Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
I think Otto Porter would be great, but he's also a $100 million man.
Yep. I think it's very interesting the way that they decided to word that statement. So when you say everyone's on the trading block, no one's untouchable, it's an easy way of saying John Wall is on the trade block without saying John Wall's on the trade block. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
Because when you say everyone's on the trade block, everyone's going to say, okay, we want Brad Beal. He's got less money. He's got more talent. He's a hell of a shooter and defender.
Do you think he has more talent than John Wall?
I do. Yeah, absolutely. When you look at that roster, obviously the guy that anyone wants to trade for is going to be Brad Beal because of his contract situation and how young he is and how fucking accomplished he is as a shooter on a mediocre team for the last 7 years. The Wizards had, you know, a couple really nice years where they made it semi-far into the playoffs, but when you look at what Brad Beal has done, he's the youngest shooter to hit 900 threes in his career, and that's outrageous.
That is. Those are great stats.
So, like, when you see that, you're like, everyone's salivating. Like, I'm a little worried that the Lakers are ready to fucking blow up our young roster and go get him. And if we do, I wouldn't be entirely – it just depends
on
what –
Would you give up Ingram for Beal?
I would.
I like that.
I would absolutely give up Brandon Ingram for Bradley Beal.
Would you give up Lonzo for Beal?
I wouldn't – they're going to want more than Ingram.
Right. Lonzo. So Ingram and Hart for Beal.
That's done deal.
You'd be fine with that.
Sign that right now. Okay. Put a fucking stamp on it. Let's make it happen.
I like that because I'd do that too, Drew.
I don't want to lose two of our three guys, Kuzma, Ingram, and Lonzo. We can't lose two of them.
Kuzma and Hart for Beal.
Done.
Kuzma and Hart for Beal.
Not a problem.
Keeping Ingram.
Lonzo and Hart for Beal. Like, done. Like, okay. I need to keep at least two of them, and I don't care which we keep.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer to keep honestly, at this point, I prefer to keep Brandon Ingram and Lonzo, which is, I guess, at this point, the more obvious
that's what everybody choice, would say, right? Probably. Right.
So, but my point is, when they say that everyone's for sale, it's to me a backhanded way of saying someone, like you said, someone please take John Wall off our hands. Somebody please take him.
I don't think
there's going to be a spot for him.
I asked our social media. I put that out there. Mm-hmm. And the one answer that was constant on it was like, dude, Houston would probably fuck with that.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like Houston might fuck with that.
With John Wall or Brad Beal?
Well, they definitely try to go after Brad Beal.
I agree with that.
They have to. Chris Paul is the third highest paid player in the NBA. He's not going anywhere. He's going to end up with Houston.
That's what I mean.
He's making $32 million.
Everyone in the league is going to, if there is, you know, the Timberwolves, like it, just name a fucking roster that wouldn't want Brad Beal. And something I brought up in the preseason talks that we've had in the podcast was if the Portland situation wasn't as good as it is right now, mm-hmm. they would have taken a serious look at making that McCollum for Beal or John Wall for Dame. But the way that Portland's playing right now, there's no reason for them to do that. They're at the top of the West right now. They're playing really well. The West is just a fucking massacre right now.
Do you think anybody really wants John Wall and that contract?
No, but Dame Lillard is getting paid a significant amount of money.
Not that, though. What scares people is a player option at, 2022 for John Wall.
45. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous, right? So if we're talking Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. you know, if we're talking Steph Curry, then I would understand.
But those guys aren't going anywhere. They're just not. Steph's not going anywhere.
I get it.
Neither is Russell.
I would think about it as another franchise. If it was one of those guys, I would think about it. John Wall doesn't entice me.
Oh, like I hear what you're saying. For the money.
Yeah.
Yes, Steph is worth the $200 million.
Yeah, if the Clippers could get Russell right now and he has a player option at $40 million in 5 years.
Go ahead.
I'd try to give you something.
Absolutely.
You feel me?
I'm with that. There isn't a landing place for John Wall right now. Unless something drastic happens.
He's going to be a Washington Wizard for the rest of his life.
Right.
So if I am Washington, I'm trying to either get, because Bradley's not happy and he doesn't want to play with this guy the next 5 years.
Seems like nobody's happy with John Wall.
No, you know who would be happy there? Who would be fucking happy there? Boogie would be happy there. Be playing with his guy.
Right.
You know, give me Boogie and then just be the most dysfunctional ass team.
You bring up something. There is actually maybe one landing spot that somebody threw around was New Orleans for John Wall. Because AD and John, they have a Kentucky connection. And Anthony Davis has never played with a point guard as good as John Wall. John Wall's never played with a big man as good as Anthony Davis. They have some cap space. They can probably package Julius Randle or Mirotić or something like that to make the cap space work. That, and we keep bringing up New Orleans because they were off to that hot start, but mm-hmm. then they've really cooled off and kind mm-hmm. of, they're like in the middle of everything right now. That is a possible destination that could work for him. What I mean by that, it only works one way. It's only John Wall coming to New Orleans to play with Anthony Davis. It's not Anthony Davis going to, because they're not going to give up Anthony Davis. But that I suppose is a possibility, or you end up in a place like Orlando or Chicago or one of these low-level teams that needs that wants to sign a big market player like John Wall. Like,
but if you're coming into camp every year fat, okay?
Yeah.
If you're telling your coach "fuck you,"
who's gonna want that guy?
Nobody wants that dude.
Yeah.
And again, I'm gonna say it for the third time on this podcast: you are who you are. You're not gonna get some different John Wall. You know, he's come into camp every year overweight. And we say fat. I'm talking NBA fat. Shout out to Baron Davis on this because he had a great skit the other night. Oh, my boy, Baron. Just how he did, you know, he does film, right?
Yeah, so
there was a short skit he did with Steve Nash, right?
Okay.
And it's Steve Nash explaining to Baron how he shouldn't eat pizza. And Baron's like, "You haven't eaten pizza. You don't eat pizza?" He's like, "Steve Nash, like, I haven't had pizza in like 15 years."
Yeah. And Nash is still very, very super kept up. Nice, yes. Nice and healthy.
And he's explaining to Baron how you need to eat food for energy. And he's like, Baron's like, "I'm not fat." He's like, "I'm like Shaq fat. I'm dominant fat." I'm like, oh, dude. So I'm not saying John Wall's coming in fat.
No, but that's exactly why Kobe and Shaq didn't get along.
Right.
Shaq was eating fucking Big Macs coming into the fucking stadium.
Yeah, but who's holding John Wall accountable in that franchise?
It's nobody. It's only Bradley Beal.
Only Bradley Beal. And I don't think John Wall really understands that Bradley Beal is literally just as good as
just
you.
Just as good.
He's averaging, John Wall is averaging 20 points a game. 20.
So is Brad Beal. I think Brad's like 22.
But and John Wall shoots really bad from the 3-point line, except for tonight against the fucking Clippers, John Wall. What the hell? Hitting five of them.
Yeah.
And I think this whole team dynamic is going to change.
Yeah.
I don't even
think. It's been coming for a long time. Yeah. And the only way that this fixes itself is if they go on a fucking run, but even then, we've seen them in winning seasons where they're just not happy.
Yeah, go to the playoffs, and then what the fuck happens? Right. Toronto's going to knock you out in 3 and 4 games,
or Milwaukee, or Indiana, right? 76ers, like they're just not a contending team right now. So
two more small things I want to bring up.
Let's go.
Not necessarily small things, but I have a really soft spot in my heart. Drew.
Okay,
Markel Fultz has a really special spot in my heart.
Why is that?
I don't know, bro. I think it's because there's something going on psychologically with Markel Fultz. All right. Something is happening within, whether it's the shoulder, the bad shoulder.
Well,
he has.
That's not psychological.
No. But I think psychological comes from this social media shit.
Okay.
Where you're playing for a very, very big sports town. They're expecting a lot out of you. You're a kid. You're 20 years old. We saw a couple things. I posted a couple things on our page where he had these reactions. You see those muscle jerk reactions things when he was tying his shoe?
That was weird. It was like a back spasm or something like that.
It looked to me like, and people joked about it, but it looked like the Monstars stealing these people's energy.
Yeah, it was better acting than Charles Barkley and Patrick Ewing did in that movie.
And then we saw the hot potato free throw,
which you explained really well.
What you think the hot potato free throw was.
Yeah, so we talked at length about his pump fake free throw that happened.
Which supposedly slipped last week.
Both of the free throws, he had a significant hitch in. And so what I think, he fired his shooting coach after that or whatever, got rid of it. I don't know if he fired him. I don't know if he hired him or not. But the shooting coach was gone and somebody told him to try to bring the ball up in a different way. And he was bouncing the ball, like he was kind of tossing the ball between his hands until it got up into the shooting pocket where all he had to do was really snap his wrist and follow through. And my take on that was it's clear that they're trying to get him out of his head. Something that we've talked about at length is that he's obviously some kind of mental block about shooting and possibly a physical issue with his shoulder. And when you do that, when you take the ball up like that, it focuses your brain on, oh, I got to keep passing this ball until I shoot it. Instead of being like, oh shit, okay, in your head, you have to be like, oh, now I have to bring the ball up slow. Where's my elbow? How am I snap my wrist? Right. And so I think it's like more about the motion of just getting the ball to where he knows what to do with it once it's locked and loaded and he can just snap his wrist and follow through like he's done his entire career leading up to his NBA seasons. And it seemed like a much better flow to it. When you look at it, I know it's weird for like optically when you see the ball go back and forth in between his hands until it gets there. But if you pause it, like we should ask C. Mike Dunn on this because I think if you were to pause it right where he was once he stopped passing the ball and he put it in that pocket where it was locked and loaded, ready to shoot. From that point to the release was pretty fluid
and it didn't
have the hitch. Mm-hmm. So it solved a problem. But then we hear that he's now not going to be on the team.
So what's happening per his attorney, this started with the attorney.
Whoa.
Yeah. This started with Markel Fultz's attorney. So after all, he's averaging 8 points a game. It's obvious he's just really not there.
They trade for Jimmy Butler to essentially take his place.
Pretty much, or to mentoring and whatever.
Didn't seem that way.
No, there's probably no mentoring going on. As of right now, Markel Fultz will not be with the team. He will not be practicing. He will not be playing in games until he gets his shoulder looked at. And he's going to a shoulder therapist.
Like a physical therapist, yeah. Like an expert in
shoulders.
Because
you know, he has some issues. And you know, I want this kid to succeed. And I want him to get over whatever block he's having right now. And I kind of wish that D Rose would talk to this guy and like reach out to him a little bit. I wish that, you know, one of these OGs would come through. Even like a Vince Carter would be great, bro.
Yeah.
You know, just one of these old OGs. I don't think Embiid's not the guy. Simmons is not the guy. JJ Redick's not the guy.
Well, but we've talked about this. There's people on that franchise that, and we can't assume that no one's reached out to him because we don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible some of the OGs
have reached out. Has AI reached out? Yeah.
We don't know. Right. We don't know. I'm assuming Allen Iverson has reached out on some level, being a number one overall pick.
AI looks like he's embraced Jimmy Butler.
He's hugging Jimmy Butler for 30 seconds. I'm sure he's at least texted Markelle Fultz.
Right.
But when we talked about it last week, I mentioned Simmons has had a similar issue with it, you know, with his jumper in the league and the lack of a jumper. But the other side of that, something I didn't bring up, is JJ Redick, a guy that you just mentioned, who's probably the best, like outside of Steph and Clay, the best shooter in the NBA, and had to shoot his way into starting lineups.
Right.
Because that's all he had.
Right.
You know, Clay's 6'7", Steph Curry can handle the ball like Pete fucking Maravich on cocaine. And you know, JJ doesn't have that skill. All JJ does is come off a goddamn and screen work. And wet that goddamn right. jumper every right. time. And so for him to not even try to utilize JJ, again, I can't speak to the
no,
fact
I'm
that
with
he has
you
or
on
hasn't.
That.
But there it seems like it shouldn't be on the OGs to look after him. It should be on him at this point to reach out to them.
Well, I'm with you 1,000% because I've said that on all many of our podcasts on why Lonzo and Kuzma weren't beating down Kobe's door. I'm with you on that.
Right.
And back to the dude, I know you don't want to talk about it, and we're not going to talk about it much, but that's kind of what Austin did with JJ. He's like, damn, this motherfucker's in the gym
yeah.
all day doing this. I should
and he
be
got
with
better.
This guy. He did get better.
He got better.
He did.
Because he was training with Chris Paul and JJ Redick.
And I'd like to talk to somebody in Philly. And, you know, right. I met somebody this weekend who's a beat reporter, whose girlfriend is a beat reporter for Philly. And cool. I'd like to talk to her about that shit. But Markelle, we want you to get through this, dude. We want to see you succeed, dude. You have all the talent in the world. And you're on that team right now. Like, dude, your number might be called in the playoffs this summer.
If they're going to make a run, he's going to need to be impactful, because as the second unit now is pretty depleted with JJ back in the starting lineup, they're going to need him
to. And Covington gone.
Right. And Sarge is gone. Right. They're going to need him to step up if they're going to make a run.
Right.
So it's important that they address the issue now. And I'm on board too, man. Nothing but the best for him, man. Mm-hmm. I was blown away with his talent in Washington. I watched,
but shit gets weirder
so
and
much,
weirder, dude.
Yeah, I know.
This shit is getting weirder and weirder.
It is. There's no explanation for it, as far as I'm concerned.
And I try my best not to make fun of it.
It's hard not to.
It's hard not to make fun of it. I've seen some weird ass free. Anthony Mason was a weird ass free throw. Nick Van Exel was a weird ass free throw, standing 3 feet behind. That shit's weird. I understood why they did that stuff. The fucking hot potato is wild as fuck. One more thing, Drew, before we get the fuck out of here.
All right.
The horrific Cleveland Cavaliers, who are obviously titanicking this whole season.
Well, right? They listen to us, I think.
They listen. Tank, if you want Zion, bro. Yeah,
they heard 51 or 52, whichever one it was. We told them to tank, and they were like, you know what? That actually makes a lot of
Clemson,
goddamn sense.
Clemson, Drew, you make sense.
There's a lot of sense over there.
The Cleveland Cavaliers and J.R. Henny Smith have officially parted ways. It was amicable, as they said.
yeah, they didn't want him, and he didn't want to be there.
Yeah, but you know what, dude? I think I totally get where JR's coming from. He yeah. is an NBA vet,
yeah.
right? And the Cleveland Cavaliers' whole plan for this season was not to win basketball games. And his motivation was completely gone. I think everybody's, everything that happened with Colin Sexton, how all the, you know, the OGs or the veterans are blaming the game on Colin, and it's not Colin's fault. It's the culture of your fucking team right now.
Yeah.
You lost the greatest player in the world. You went from being in the finals to literally being the worst team in the NBA.
Right.
You are a meme. Cleveland yeah. Cavaliers, you are a meme. They're saying Duke will run you. So J.R. Smith said, dude, I don't want to play for them anymore.
Well, this is what happens, right? So like when you have a team that's built around one guy, they brought all these pieces in for LeBron. Every single one of them. They brought in to be a complimentary player to LeBron. And then when you remove LeBron, you're left with all these complimentary players that have no one to compliment. There was never going to be, unless they could immediately replace LeBron with another, you know, all-star caliber player, which was impossible for them to do that because they're in Cleveland. It was never going to work out, to your point. And I think, you know, it's weird that it took this long. They almost should have made these moves in the offseason and gave Colin Sexton a fresh start with a bunch of fucking scrubs and let him play.
Let him De'Aaron Fox it.
Let him play 40 minutes and work his shit out as he's going to have to learn. He's going to have his ankles broken a bunch this year. He's going to have turnovers all goddamn game. But let it happen in the similar way that the Hawks, they're letting Trae Young do whatever happens.
He's shooting anything.
Luka Doncic, let him, whatever happens. They don't give a shit. Luka, right. Go ahead, man.
Same shoot thing with Sacktown.
Shoot 25 times a game. We want you to shoot 25 times a game. Like, and they just didn't make that move until now, which I think was strange.
Hey, if history repeats itself, dog.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking lottery has been great to Cleveland.
They are very good at getting number one picks.
And let me tell you, bro, I think Cleveland is looking to get, I think if they had a choice, if they get the number one pick, they're not guaranteed that.
Correct.
They are going to be the worst team in the NBA. The Hawks are a better team than them.
Well, so just to slow it down. The Hawks are 3-14. And Cleveland is 2-13.
Okay, so it's bad.
It's going to be a barn burner at the bottom of the East.
If Cleveland gets number one, they want Zion, obviously. I think Zion for any team.
Well, but here, I honestly think that if I'm the Hawks, and maybe even if I'm the Suns, I'm taking RJ before I take Zion. Man. If I'm Cleveland, Zion is the choice.
Right.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Right. And I think the good news is that there is someone like RJ in this draft to make the Hawks not choose Zion, to make the Suns not choose Zion, or at least think about not choosing him. Because then it does, you know, kind of
interesting.
It could work out for them. Mm-hmm. If they don't get the number one pick, they could still possibly end up with Zion.
Hey, Williams. Phoenix is fucking horrible too, bro. Yeah,
3-13.
You know, and I'm listening, and I don't even want to talk about Phoenix right now, but I'm listening to DeAndre Ayton talk. He played against Embiid the other night, and all he was doing was stroking this dude's dick.
About how good Embiid is?
All he was doing was trying to really watch how he uses his body, and I'm watching and I'm like, yo bro, play fucking D on him, watch game footage on him if you want to know that shit. You know, he was like fanboy with him, and I get it.
Well,
right? I get it.
Embiid is crushing the game right now, so great. I guess that's the easiest way to say it. Be like, well, hey Aiden, why didn't you play so much defense? Well, I was taking notes, homie. Like, you know, it's hard to play defense when I have, you know, I got a pen and paper out here,
man,
writing shit down.
You should be trying to give him buckets, DeAndre. You got anything else to say, bro?
The Lakers are playing in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, Sunday?
On tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
Wednesday, is LeBron. LeBron's doing his road trip down memory lane.
Yes, sir.
Just dropped a 50-piece, 51 points against Miami, his former team, in a blowout.
Loved it.
And I actually kind of want to talk about that just a little bit more in depth. And then he's going to Cleveland tomorrow. The return of the king, if you want to call it that.
Love it.
To Cleveland in a victory. It's definitely going to be victorious.
If we
don't win that game, it's on purpose, and I'm calling it. Point shaving. I'm calling the FBI. I want people arrested. But the thing I wanted to bring up about Miami was, I don't know if you caught it, but the clock was running down and LeBron launched a deep three, almost the exact same spot on the floor that Jamal Murray launched a three. They both had 48 points when they launched the three. Yes. As the clock was running down, LeBron hits it and everyone cheered.
I'll tell you exactly what I feel about it.
Talk to me.
There's two reasons.
Okay.
Two main reasons. First of all, Jamal Murray had the last possession of the game where you walk it out. The Lakers, they had a full 24 seconds before it had to go to another possession.
When the Lakers had the ball, there was 8 seconds on the shot clock. LeBron shot it from deep and then made it, and there was still 16 seconds left in the game. So they were forced to shoot it, but still, I think it still applies because they were up by so much. You know, occasionally teams will just let the shot clock go off. You know what I'm saying?
No, that doesn't happen.
That does happen. Players will just hold the ball.
And then give it up, and they take it. I haven't seen that too often.
When you're up by 35 points, I've seen that happen.
Okay, I'm gonna say two differences between Jamal Murray and LeBron James.
Okay.
First of all, it's LeBron James, okay? You can literally do whatever you want to do. You're the man, you've earned it. You're in your old hood, okay? Yeah. You're playing against your old team. The Miami fans, 95% of them are there to see LeBron.
Yeah, half of them are wearing LeBron Laker jerseys.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, you have Lance Stephenson yelling at him, shoot the three, shoot the three. There's probably Miami players that are saying, dude, shoot the three. And he was so deep. I get, and I have people ask both of us the same question. LeBron has earned the right to do that. Jamal Murray has not earned that right yet. I think that the way Jamal Murray did it was a little suspect. Again, game's over. You don't have another possession. You feel me?
Yeah.
So that's where I stand on it.
I'm with you. I when I first saw it, I thought that there was less time on the clock, and mm-hmm. he just fired it up kind of casually. And I really, going back to the Jamal Murray shot, it wasn't with much intent that he shot that ball. It was a pretty casual. Yes. I'm just going to throw this up as the buzzer.
And if
sounds.
I make it, I get 50.
Right. So we don't need to go too much into. But I thought that was interesting similarities. Mm-hmm. You know, they both had 48 points, and they both took a casual three. Everyone's reaction was so completely different.
The difference is LeBron, and I think it would have been the same deal if KD's in OKC. And he takes that shot. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I think it's the same. If it's Paul George in Indiana, like maybe it's the same thing. You know
right.
what I mean?
Sure.
But LeBron has earned that right to basically do whatever he wants. And that game was insane.
Yeah, he had a great game. So it would have been nice to wrap this up. Uh-huh. It would have been nice if he played like half as hard against the Orlando Magic the game before. We lost the fucking game to the Orlando Magic. And it would have been nice.
Our boy douchebag John was so pissed.
It would have been nice if he played just a little bit harder in that game and didn't save it all for the 51. But spread that out a little bit, LeBron.
16th year in the NBA.
Yeah,
he's averaging 28, 8, and 7, people.
Yeah, he's analyzing the schedule more than the fucking GM and the head coach are, I'll tell you that much.
He knows 8 and 7.
He's picking his spots.
Hey, it's the follow through with Clips and Drew. We're going to take him out with an unknown track, bro.
What do you mean by that?
Well, dude, Jedi Mind Tricks. These are my guys.
There was an unknown.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know Jedi Mind Tricks.
A little underground
yeah.
kind of a vibe. I hear you.
Trail of Lies. This is my jam, Drew. If you don't know Jedi, get on this shit. This is a slapper. So follow through with Clips and Drew. We're ghosts.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I got a niece, and best believe she mean the world to me. And she don't need to see the shit they think a girl should be. 90 pound skinny bitches, that ain't even girl to me. Essentially, that shit designed to take a hold of you. Telling lies to your vision, take control of you. They find it different ways to take your fucking soul from you. Show about a model, make your self-esteem low for you. Everything is fake, trust me, no one that lovely. I met a lot of famous people and they fat and ugly. I ain't any better, I just think the fact is funny. That'll take a little girl and pimp her for the cash and money. And what's gonna become of them in like 50 years? When Hannah Montana turning into Britney Spears. They chew you up and spit you out cause no one really cares. And ain't nobody gonna hold you when you really scared. Where the parents at, cousin, this is really bad. Is this the motherfucking manager or really dad? Is he concerned about his daughter or a silly pad? This ain't gonna change nothing, I just think it's really sad.